help us to commence with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Thank you.
Let us read from the book of Job, chapter 22 and 23. Job, chapter 22 and 23. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great, and thy iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honourable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Or darkness that thou canst not see, an abundance of waters cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defence, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, There is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. May the Lord bless his word and help David in prayer.
O Lord, we would bow ourselves before thee, thou who art most holy, and we, poor worms of the earth, not worthy to come into thy presence. And Lord, we would come with that cry upon our lips, that thou wilt have mercy upon us, and not turn away thy face, for mine's an urgent pressing case. Lord, thou knowest each need before thee, but we all need mercy. We need to know that we are in that covenant of everlasting life, that thou hast ordained peace for us through the blood of the covenant, and not left our souls to die. It is a great question, Lord. Am I his, or am I not? And wilt thou decide the doubtful case? May it please thee, Lord, to do it this day, to shine into many hearts, as say, I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Lord, if thou dost speak, will it not give true worship in our hearts to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think? Oh, may we know that this God is our God, that he will bring us safely through and not leave us to perish with the wicked. Lord, eternity is before us. Oh, do work in our hearts. Exercise us unto godliness. Give that deep concern over our awful sin, and a concern to know that thou hast put our names in thy covenant of life, sent thy dear Son that he might die for our sins, and bring us at last to our desired haven. Lord, it is life, eternal life, our request, to know that we are among those who are born again of the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb, those for whom thou didst die and rise again, and that we shall rise again with thee. O Lord, remember our souls. Give us that urgent cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Lord, we pray that in the reading of the word, in the hymns we sing, in the sermon that shall be read unto us, there may be a portion for us, something to take away, to meditate over, to beat out that which we have gleaned. May it not be an unprofitable day in thy house, Lord. Oh, we pray that thy Spirit may come, that he may open our hearts, that he may bless us, that he may speak with us by the way, that we may know it is the Lord. It is power divine, known in the soul that we ask for. It is thy smile and not thy frown, that thou wilt turn our darkness into day. Lord, remember us in these great things. We know not how to speak rightly before thee. Thou who art most high, and we poor sinners. But Lord, may all our prayers be washed in that precious blood of Calvary and received in Jesus' name. We ask that thou wilt remember every case here, every heart's desires, those who have come up begging, Lord, that thou wilt speak to their souls this day. May they not be sent empty away. Those who are burdened on account of their sins. And we have to say, oppressed by sins of every name, how oft are we involved? But in thy word thou hast promised, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt work this day, that thou wilt bring peace where there is turmoil, where there's that awful conflict in the soul between sin and Satan and the life of God, which often seems almost extinct. Lord, arise for our help. Oh, do shine into our souls and grant the peace that thou hast overcome for us. And may we be overcomers at the last, those whom thou hast put in that everlasting covenant, that thou wilt bring us safely through and land us on Canaan's side. Lord, there are many burdened by the things which have happened unto them. We pray that as they have laid them before thee, so that thou wilt make a way of escape, that those things that have happened may prove to be for the furtherance of the gospel, for the good of their never dying souls. And we pray for those in deep trouble, Lord, that thou wilt make a way for them. We especially think of our dear friend in hospital and his family, Peter and Abigail and their children. If it might please thee, Lord, to arise for their help, that it might please thee to bless them in it, that it might please thee, Lord, that afterwards there shall be a song of deliverance. Hear what the Lord hath done for me. And we plead thy mighty power. We plead what thou hast done for us here as a church and people, as thou hast heard and answered prayer for others as they have been laid very low in deep affliction. Lord, wilt thou also remember us and hear our cry this time, and grant another great deliverance. But Lord, there are many secret burdens, but thou art the burden bearer, and wilt thou undertake for all that are oppressed. As a people, we also remember what thou hast done for us. And this week, brought another little one safely into the world, and we would return thanks and pray that she may prove to be a vessel of mercy, one whom thou hast ordained unto life. Bless the little family together, and may they be enabled to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray for all our families, that thou wilt remember them, that they may be bound together in that bundle of everlasting life. Lord, may not one be left out, if it might be thy holy good pleasure. And we pray for those who have gone out from us, the prodigals, Lord. May they be returning prodigals. May the power of the Spirit rest upon their hearts to cause them to turn again and to seek the living God. Lord, none can withstand thy hand. We pray that each of us may know that great power of thy hand, that it may keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us, and that thou wilt cause us to walk in the way wherein thou wouldst have us to walk. Keep us watching and waiting and begging thee that thou wilt appear, that thou wilt direct us, for we are fools. We mourn our sins, Lord, but may our mourning be turned into joy. Help us to pray for the elderly amongst us, though they may not be able to come to the house of prayer, yet, Lord, thou art able to meet with them where they are, and we do earnestly beseech thee that thou wilt visit them and prepare each one for a never-ending eternity. And Lord, in old age and weakness, may they prove that thou art their strength. We pray for thy servant, whom we hope to hear this evening, that thou wilt grant him needed strength in his weakness. Lord, may it be a divine appointment that thou hast ordained, that there should be a blessing for many, if it might please thee. Out of weakness may he be made strong, and may there be those things which shall be to thy eternal honour and glory. We also pray for the one originally engaged here, Lord, that it might be thy good pleasure to restore unto him again the joy of thy salvation, that thou wilt raise him up, that he may be an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we do ask, Lord, that thou wilt be with him today where he is, that thy word may be very precious unto him. We do ask that thou wilt be with us as we meet together from time to time, that thou wilt not leave us here, Lord, to an outward form, to a cold form, but may there be something done by the Holy Ghost which shall be for the good of souls into eternity, where they shall praise thy name for all thou hast done for them, to say how thou hast turned darkness into light, how thou hast shown good to their souls, raised up to a hope that thou wilt not leave them to die eternally. And we specially pray for our dear brother, that thou wilt help him in reading the sermon this morning. Lord, do enable him to speak out those things afore preached. May the Holy Ghost clothe those words with divine power. O Lord, we have to confess before thee our failings, how far short we come in all things, but may all be covered with the mantle of thy forgiving love, as one often says. And Lord, we confess before thee the sins of the nation. And what can we say? For the seeds of every evil are in our own hearts, and but for grace they break out. Lord, and we see around us the effects of sin, the effects of departing from thy word, the effects of saying we will not have this man to reign over us. Lord, if it please thee, may there be a reviving of thy work. May hearts be sanctified. May the tender fear of the Lord be granted. May there be those who are enabled earnestly to lay before thee the troubles in our nation, the departing from the living God. How iniquity runs down our streets. And to beg of thee, Lord, in mercy, even at this late time, when all seems to be lost, Lord, with thee there is nothing that is impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? O Lord, that this nation might turn again is our desire, and we specially pray that thou wilt withhold the hands of wicked men who would cause the ceasing of the worship of thy holy name if they could, who would take away from us the right to meet together in peace, who would take away from us thy holy word, who would enforce in our schools the teaching of wickedness and the withholding of that which is good. Lord, thou art able to control all these things, for the hearts of all men are in thy hand. May we be enabled to tremble at the word of the Lord and to plead it before thee. And Lord, when thou hearest, forgive. We own our utter unworthiness of these things. Lord, wilt thou hear our prayer, not for our sakes, but for thy great name's sake, wilt thou do these things, and do put a new song into our mouth of praise unto our God. Lord, pardon every sin of our prayers and receive us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 391. Jesus, friend of sinners here, a feeble creature pray, from my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. 391. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham in 1919. And I think you'll find that some of his early comments are very applicable to this present day. You will find the text in the chapter we read, Job chapter 22 and verse 29. When men are cast down, then they shall say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Job chapter 22, verse 29. The speaker in the text was one of the three unwise men who misunderstood Job because they did not understand God very fully. And the Lord reproved them and told them to go to Job, who should pray for them. But they did, these three men did, say some things that were wise, and this text is one of them, I judge. When men are cast down, Job, God's servants, seeing them cast down, and knowing God, should say to them, there is lifting up. There shall be a change. Wait for God. Despair not. Look for better things. Lift up your head. There is lifting up. God himself shall lift you up. And when you are of low eyes, or you see men of low eyes, humble, men who think little of themselves, except that they think of their sinfulness and think much of that, and who, thinking much of their sinfulness, think themselves to be nothing but worms and corrupt creatures, God shall save them. This is the text. God help us to look at it properly. When men are cast down, there are some particular things which cast down the Lord's people. There are three that I shall mention in particular this morning. First, a knowledge of God. One said, the Almighty troubleth me. If you never are troubled at a sight and sense of God, you will indeed live and die in an evil case. The greatness of God, the majesty of God, his glory shining in a broken law, his tremendous but just claims upon us as we are his creatures, these things perceived by the teaching of the Spirit will cause all who are blessed with that teaching to be troubled. For we must needs die and stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive in our body according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Ah, sinner, practical atheism may make you happy, apparently, but God will open your eyes one day, either in terrible judgment through eternity or in mercy here, whereby you will be troubled. Ignorance of God leaves men at liberty to sin, and sin is to them a cheap thing for the time. Oh, but later. The second thing that troubles men is their sinfulness, their weakness, their unfitness to live, their unpreparedness to die. Sin is a monster, a filthy thing, the transgression of the law, enmity to God, a power which is likened to a law, the law of sin, the law which reigns, commands, coerces, restrains, keeps men from right ways, hurries them on in wrong courses. This, when felt, is a thing that casts men down. I would do good, a gracious and a very great saint said, but evil is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find not. And he could not lightly say, I am not going to be troubled. I am in the covenant, and God has chosen me and redeemed me, and I am safe. Oh no, that is not the language of the gospel. That is not the teaching of the Spirit. That great saint I have just mentioned, the Apostle Paul, said, O wretched man that I am. Who can say what tears this made him shed, what grief it filled him with, what shame it covered him with, what casting down he felt? Within were fears, he once said, without were fightings. Sin felt does cast men down. See if you know what that means. Sin does cast men down. It hinders them from good. The third thing is the providence of God, which often troubles people, and which I need not say to you, troubles all people today. Not this particular family or that person singled out, but nations are troubled today by the awful but holy wise providence of God. We have come from one awful evil, the First World War, but how many more we are to see, to fall under the power, the destructive power, of only the Lord knows. But it seems that it would be madness in us to shut our eyes to present conditions, because God is in them. Therefore, it is best that we should look them in the face. O saints of God, we shall never get well through trouble by averting our gaze from it. Trouble is before us. What the Lord will do with this nation and with the nations of the earth, I am not going to pretend to say, but I do not think that anyone could deny that all the signs of the times are most portentous. All appearances are terrible. Think of what we are confronted with if God avert not that great threat that is hanging over this land. And when men see their sins, when, as must be the case with all exercised people, when they see the sins of these nations, the popery, the infidelity, the profanity, the wickedness in all classes, running through the whole of society, touching the very church of God herself, what can men say but they are cast down? Personally, I must say, I live in great heaviness for what is likely to come upon my beloved nation and what is threatening the church of the living God. What is it to be cast down by these things? It is to feel their weight, the weight of God's majesty, the full weight of his justice in his great claims on a wicked man, a wicked community. When the hand of God is lifted up and the saints see it lifted up, that is the cause of casting down. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O God, have we waited for thee. They were not blind to those judgments. They did not cast them away as it were from them and say, we believe heaven is ours, and we will take no notice of these things. They were cast down by them. If you do not regard the operations of God's hand, depend upon it, according to Scripture, he will destroy you. It is to be cast down when you feel the enormity of your sins, when you feel there is no creature at whom you can cast a stone, that there is no sin you hear of or read about or see that you yourself could not, would not, if left, commit. Oh, it is a casting down when you see and feel the hand of God in rebukes upon you for your personal sins, when you are not left to say, why am I thus afflicted? But rather to say, I wonder I am so little afflicted, so little distressed. I wonder the hand of God is so lightly upon me. Men are cast down by providential things when they are surrounded, when a hewn stone wall is round about them and they cannot escape the trouble, when a thorn hedge is about them, and if they rush here or turn there or press in another place, they will hurt themselves. Oh, to be surrounded by judgments is a casting down thing, but it is not despair, my friends. To be cast down is not despair. Satan may paint this religion that I try to speak to you about in very false colours. He may make you say, well, but that is a miserable moping thing. But it is not despair. Paul says, cast down, but not in despair. Where are you cast down to? Cast down as to your strength. Cast down as before God. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. That is the place to go. Rightly cast down, you confess your sins. You confess that you deserve the rod. You say, if it should be needful be, and it is, oh, hold me up while I'm under it. Sanctify it to me. Save me. It is to have faith in exercise on a chastising God. After I was chastised, I repented. One cast down is a repenting sinner. He sees his sins. He feels his sins. He wonders at the dealings of God with him, that they are not worse, and he waits on God for deliverance. When men are thus cast down, little in their own eyes, when they are cast down by God's dealings with them into the dust of self-abasement, when rebellion is taken from their hearts as to its dominion, when they can accept God's dealings with them, when they can fall into his dear and most gracious hands, when they can feel that he is a wise God, and when they can say in their souls, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause. When they can join with the prophet and say, although the fig tree blossom not, though there be no herd in the stall, though the fruit of the olive fail, yet I will rejoice. And if they cannot rejoice, they can hope and say, hope in God. That is, as I judge, a healthy and spiritual condition. When men are cast down, they are vile, but God deals with them. Rebels, but their heavenly Father chastens them. They need to be humbled, and he takes pains with them to humble them. They are cast down in a right way. Now it is said in the text that when this is the case with men, it shall be said to them, there is lifting up. One shall say, you have got a good God, he won't forsake you. He is dealing with you because he loves you. He is chastening you because you are his son. He will bless you. He will lift you up. Now what is this lifting up? I take it to be first the bright shining of God's grace in the face of Jesus Christ upon a poor, cast down sinner. He says, I am fit for nothing but hell. He feels it sincerely. He confesses it humbly. But while he is in this condition, while he is judging himself, and is thus chastened of the Lord, there comes into his heart a surprising light. He's had the light before, the light of God's majesty, but now it is the light of his mercy. The light of his mercy in Jesus Christ, and that imparts instantly, that lifts the man up, that says to the sinner, hope in God. It is like that that Moses got when the Lord passed by him in a time of great sorrow and proclaimed his name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. It is like the Lord sending Ezekiel to the captivity. We read in the beginning of Ezekiel's prophecy that the Lord sent him by the river where the captives were. And so, when a sinner is cast down by a sense of the majesty of God, he veils that in the face of Jesus Christ and shines in the face of Jesus Christ into a cast down soul. It brings a change at once. It is like a renewal of the face of the earth. It is like God coming to a poor, distraught sinner and saying to him, "Oh, turn your eyes to me." The sinner has been looking on God and been afraid. But now he sees God in the face of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, and it has a great effect. It lifts him up. It lifts him up in hope. It does for his spirit what the angel did to Daniel. When seeing God's glory, he fell flat down and was like a dead man feeling his corruption. There was a kindly look, a sweet word, and Daniel said, "O my Lord, speak now, speak to me." For Daniel had now been put upon his knees. Then he stood up. It is just like that. When the Lord shines in the gospel of Jesus Christ into a sinner's heart, from being flat in his corruptions, he rises in a living hope to kneel in fervent prayer. He waits on his God as he sees him in the face of Jesus Christ. Now I think I may say that some of you must understand this, that the Lord has wrought a change. Has not told you that you are better than you are, has not made you feel that your nature is anything but what you have confessed and felt it to be, but he shows you himself as a saviour, himself as suitable to you. They shall say, "There is lifting up." Yes, poor sinner, your despairing feelings may have lasted a long time. Your eyes may often may have often been turned on the majesty of God and you trembled. They may often have been turned within yourself and you have sunk again and again, lower and lower in self-despising, in a feeling that whoever may be saved, you daren't hope to be saved. But oh, when some sight of Jesus Christ has been granted to you, then it has been lifting up. Mark it. If from lying flat in trembling before God's image, you are raised up to a feeling of hope in your spirit to pray, to look to Christ, to plead his blood, to hope in his mercy, to wait on God for his gracious coming, that is a good measure of lifting up. Sweet, oh sweet. Sweet it is to get a view of Jesus Christ. Oh, it stops all despair. It bids a sinner hope in God. It tells him that his corruption shall not destroy him, and that the majesty of God will not come out against him to cut him off, for he is gracious to sinners. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That is the sight that God gives to a poor creature who is cast down. It never troubles me to see people well cast down. It is one of the best things they can have. It is like a preparation for the gospel, a preparatory work. Children are sent to preparatory school, and God sometimes sends his children a preparatory work, a humbling work, opening their eyes to see himself and then to see their sins. After that comes a sight of Jesus Christ. When you are cast down by reason of your sinfulness, that sight and sense of your sinfulness would seem to say to you, there is no ground for hope. Oh, the sight of what you are is a killing thing. It kills self-righteousness. It kills our own strength. It is a distracting thing, fills us with confusion. But dear friends, this is one of God's ways that he prepares for himself to come. He does not come to comfort a high-minded person. He does not come to bless one with a sense of pardon who has no sense of sin. He comes to the guilty, and he gives such a touch of love and mercy in Jesus Christ that raises the sinner up. It lifts him up. Oh, he says, I cannot despair. He sings, if free grace, why not for me? You know it, don't you? Midst all your depression, there is lifting up. This exaltation of the valley in which you lie by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. God comes in the gospel. The gospel comes in the power of the Holy Ghost, and it says to the sinner, hope in God. It won't let you despair. One writes, Zion's mourners cease your fear, for lo, the dying lamb utterly forbids despair to all that love his name. And you could not have a sight of the dying lamb and not feel instantly a glory of love and hope in your heart. That is lifting up. Oh, blessed lifting up. It brings the sinner out of his grave. Oh, my people, I will bring you up out of your graves. And that is what this does. It sets them on their feet. It sets them on good ground. Blessed is the gospel. No wonder it is called the glorious gospel of the blessed God. It saves the lost. It comforts every mourner. It strengthens every weak soul. It bids each poor sinner to whom it comes to look to God for eternal life in Jesus Christ. It tells a sinner that no matter how bad he is, how lost he feels, he shall be well at last through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. I know of no other good lifting up, nor do I wish to know any other, nor preach any other. They shall say there is lifting up. And with respect to circumstances, the same shall be said. When Christ prophesied the overthrow and utter destruction of Jerusalem, foretold the terrible calamities that would come upon that wicked nation, that it should be taken away, what did he say to his disciples? He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And when you are in trouble, when you are in sore perplexity, when you know not which way to turn, when it seems as if should you turn this way you will meet a lion, or should you go the other way, you will meet a bear. You will find God at every turn. It shall be said, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And what is that but to be hoping in God's mercy and looking for his protection and seeking to follow the word direction given by Jesus Christ, come unto me. That is a direction and an invitation, and that is like the word in Isaiah, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. You will get through, my friends, if God is your hope. People who will be saved are the people who have God for their hope. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth for ever. That is the God of Jacob. O happy, happy sinner, who, in his troubles, is raised up to a living hope in the living God, the God of love and the God of mercy. All providential adversity shall be turned to good account by the Lord in the cases of all who hope in him. Hope thou in God, said a good man to his soul. Hope thou in God, and may the Lord help his children to say the same in their troubles. They shall say, there is lifting up. Now in the next place, what are we lifted up to? Where are we taken to? If we are brought out of one place, we must be taken into another place. Well, the gospel tells us, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That is where God's people are happy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You won't be raised up to a good opinion of yourself. You won't be raised up to think, now I shall stand. But you will be raised up in your weakness and in your distress and in your affliction to sit with Jesus Christ in his righteousness, in his atonement, in his love, in his mercy, and to be supported through all things by his power. And that will do. You won't want anything else. Just look at this briefly. The place to which God will lift you up. The sweet uplifting of your soul out of wretched self, out of gloom, out of trembling at the majesty of God, whose brightness you cannot bear, and out of that awful pollution of your nature, and out of that dreadful guilt of your nature, lifted up and lifted out of the despair that your circumstances might verily produce in your mind, to sit with Christ. What harm can reach you here? What harm can reach your soul? Much hurt may come to your person, much dishonour may be done to you, much loss you may sustain, but oh, what harm can really reach you as sustained thus, as sheltered thus sitting with Christ? And one might say here is peace. The sinner sits in peace. Who then can give trouble when God giveth quietness? When he giveth quiet, who then can make trouble? If the Lord shines upon you, then you know it, and you are comfortable and happy. There are distinct points in true religion, and this is one of them, that when the Lord lifts you up out of the wretched place you have been long in, lying helpless in, then you know the change. They shall say, there is lifting up. And he will lift you up to a very humble confidence. I know that my Redeemer liveth, will be the language of your heart sometimes. That you have a friend in heaven, a great, a dear friend in heaven, a brother born for your adversity. He will keep his love from first to last, and Jesus is his name. You will have a humble confidence in God's mercy and a humble confidence in your own standing in that mercy. And also, you will believe that whatever is necessary for your good here below, God will give it to you. And I say to any of you who may be lying down this morning in this word, cast down. When men are cast down, and you in that condition are mourning, sighing, sobbing perhaps, sometimes sending wails of distress to heaven. Nobody knows it, except they see it in your countenance that you are troubled. Now I say to you, this awaits you, and the Lord give you power to wait for it, to wait for him to come to you. This awaits you. This gospel will embrace you. This Jesus will visit you. This light will shine unto you and that brightness will be such as that your heart will shine with it. As it is said in one place, the earth shined with his glory, and your heart will shine with this glory of God coming to you. Wait on him, and you will find he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And he shall save the humble person. The marginal reading is, him that hath low eyes, him that hath low views of himself, the man whom God has bruised and taken pains with, the man who is unable to say, now I would not be in another path than that which God has chosen for me, and who can say sometimes, the cup which God has given me to drink, I desire grace to drink it. The man who looks at himself, as Asaph looked at himself, he said, so foolish and brutish was I. I was as a beast before thee. Who can say with Job, behold, I am vile. God will save him. He brings down high looks. He saves men of low eyes, humble minds. They look on the world. Oh, what an empty thing it is. They look on their circumstances, know how empty they seem to be. They look on their friends, and while they love and value them, they say, oh, helpless they are when I come into trouble. Then they look on God by precious faith, and they see in him all that they need, and he will save them. He shall save the humble person. And what is this being saved? Saved from despair, saved from rebellion, saved from making haste, blessed with the spirit of prayer and the grace of supplication, blessed with a jealousy, with a fear of being wrong, with a desire to be right, with faith in the bleeding lamb to petition, to wrestle, to look, to long, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this humble person shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Christ and this humble person shall meet together. Oh, it is lovely when Christ and the sinner meet, when Christ and a sinner mutually embrace. Oh, it is beautiful beyond all expression when the Lord of life and glory comes to a black and polluted and ragged creature and takes away all that has been such a source of shame and cause of weakness and trouble, and gives him himself. I wonder how many in this chapel there are who are going to be saved like this. I will tell you. As many of you as high eyes will think much of yourself and much of the world, and mean to do this and mean to do that, he won't save you at present. What he will do with you, if he will have mercy on you, will be to cast you down. He casteth down the mighty from their seats, and he will cast you down. But as many as are truly mean, of low eyes, little in their own eyes, who think it would be an infinite mercy if God should look on them, well, this salvation is on its way. It may take weeks to come, as the angel was weeks and weeks hindered by the devil from reaching Daniel, but it will come. Wait for it. He shall save the humble person. May the Lord save him and save me, and grant that we may see this, his power, his love, and his glory coming into our hearts, that they may shine therewith. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £690, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach this evening and administer the Lord's Supper. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Charles Warboys. And Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, God willing, there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Jim Ince will preach in the evening. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 281. The Lord will happiness divine on contrite hearts bestow. Then tell me, gracious God, is mine a contrite heart or no? Hymn 281.
services this morning. God, do bless them as we will. God, do run and lift them. Lord, we know that see the beautiful sunshine and feel the warmth to the Lord, that we may be able to walk with it. Lord, do bless them. Do run and lift them. Lord, we do pray for dear Peter in hospital. Lord, do be with him today. Lord, if it can please him, we restore him to health and strength. Lord, we have been reminded, Lord, how earlier this year that he said Mr. Warren here to come work with serving Peter. We have kept him present. Oh, now, prayer of the Church of God for them. Oh, how there has been this year, both Peters being brought into deeper church. Oh, do grant, Lord, it may be much Lord, of our old servant, if they may both be raised up again to help us. Lord, it may be others, it may not be this, but Lord, do hear prayer for them. Lord, that they may get those chains falling off, and that door open, Lord, it's over. Lord, it would be humbled about this. Send a word before the troubles come. So, Lord, do grant us ears to hear. Hearts to receive on him. To be with us now as we come. Gather with the children this afternoon. Do come up my servants. Lord, do give him that to bring before us. Lord, do bless the word of God. We will give thanks for the dear little one born in the last. Lord, do be with her. Lord, that she may be one of them. Oh, that she may be in days to come. True reverence. Lord, to bless each family. To be with us as we pray. As we would ask them. Seeking the forgiveness of every sin. For Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God.